His skin is white just like a ghost. Thick Irish roots and his blonde hair. And he sounds like a Chicago super fan. A music nerd with a collection of CDs from here to there. Yes, Andy Dare is in Chicago, interviewing and barbecuing. It's the Andy Dare Show. It's the Andy Dare Show.
Welcome to the Andy Dare Show. I'm your host, Andy. Today it is episode 167. I want to thank everybody for checking out the show. And today I am joined by a real cool singer-songwriter dude from Chicagoland. His name is Matt Sams. And yes, check out his music. He is known for this interesting little project where every day of the year 2014, he recorded a brand new song, an original song. I believe they're all originals, but at least a song recorded every single day and released on his Bandcamp, which is mattsams.bandcamp.com. And yeah, so he's redoing that for 2016. He is going to do the same thing and record a brand new song. So check it out. There's a new song every day at mattsams.bandcamp.com. And I had been familiar with his music for a little bit. I knew he was a huge Pumpkins fan. He frequented Madame Zuzu's Tea House up in Highland Park, which is owned by Billy Corgan, another one of his interesting artistic ventures, a legit tea house in the middle of Highland Park, Illinois. Real cool little space, selling tons of teas and desserts and little treats like that. They've also got a bunch of cool t-shirts and also different merchandise, stuff like that. It's a really cool space. I would highly recommend it if you're any sort of a fan of the Pumpkins. If you're not a fan of the Pumpkins, but you like an interesting little tea house experience, check it out. They have a really friendly staff. And it's just it's an enjoyable time. I've been there twice now. Once was after Billy Corgan's show in Highland Park, or at Ravinia Festival, excuse me. That was 2014. I believe it was August. And yeah, after the show, a lot of the fans went over to the tea house, and a lot of Pumpkins fans got to meet. I got to meet a lot of people that I know from social media that are also huge Pumpkins fans. And yeah, Matt Sams, we ended up going to a little after party, and I brought my guitar, and I got to hear him play for a little bit, got to hear a couple other people play. It was just a good experience. Smashing Pumpkins fans are some of the best people on earth, and they're always nice and kind and have a good attitude, which is an important thing. So yeah, last Friday, I knew that Billy Corgan and Jeff Schroeder were going to have a little intimate acoustic show at Madame Zuzu's. And yes, the tickets flew. I think they sold out within a couple minutes of being put out. But so I wasn't expecting going. Then I see on a Facebook group, hey, I had a couple people bail. Anyway, anybody wants to go check out the show on Friday or tomorrow it was. So I said, you know what? Yes. And then it just happened to be that the guy was a really cool guy, Tony, and hooked me and my friend Ryan up, and we got to check out Billy Corgan and Jeff Schroeder. Real intimate night. Lots of cool covers, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Space Oddity, Angie, and yeah, some old songs, some new songs, some in the middle. It was just a great set. Billy was in good spirits. His little babies even was crying in the background for a little bit of it. It's just an interesting thing to see that Billy has found his muse, not only with the wrestling, the tea house, the new music, the, you know, a lot of cool things going on with Corgan, and he's a hometown hero of mine and a big fan. So anywho, the guy who opened the show was Matt Sams. Really cool set, maybe six or seven songs. And yes, definitely gave a good impression to the crowd, got the crowd into it, and while just putting himself on the line, a lot of cool music. So check it out. I got a little chat with Matt Sams. Fortunately, the Skype hookup was not the best thing ever. If you know something about Skype, about how I can make it, you know, more of a less bumpy ride, contact me on Twitter at Andy Dare, and I'd love to talk to you. I've tried certain things here and there, but it just seems like it's completely up in the air as to which Skype you're going to get. Are you going to get the crystal clear one, or are you going to get the one that's crystal clear and then just starts, you know, getting choppy? And it's hard to be 100% when you got a choppy hookup. But I want to thank Matt Sams for taking the time out. Check it out, mattsams.bandcamp.com. Check out Madame Zuzu's Tea House. Always an interesting time and a real cool place. If you're in Chicagoland, I guarantee you will enjoy yourself. Check it out, Madame Zuzu's. And yes, without further ado, I'd like to introduce my episode 167 with special guest Matt Sams. Hey everybody, thank you so much for checking out the Andy Dare Show. Today it is episode 167, and I am joined by a local singer-songwriter, Matt Sams. How you doing?
Doing good.
Buddy? Awesome. Yeah, I just had the treat of seeing you open for Billy Corgan and Jeff Schroeder last Friday over at Madame Zuzu's Tea House in Highland Park. That must have been a really cool experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've played there before, just, you know, for my own shows, but I was shocked that, you know, it turned out to be basically opening for the Smashing Pumpkins. It's incredible to me.
Yeah, that's really awesome. If anybody has never been to Madame Zuzu's, it is one of a kind. It's another one of Billy's, you know, strange artistic visions. I guess it's supposedly like a early Oriental tea house from the early 1900s. And it's just full of personality. They got great tea, obviously. They've got great vegan treats as well. So you've been playing there, doing open mics and stuff throughout. They've been around for 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah, I think they just had their third-year anniversary back in September. And, I did some of the open mics there, and I also just, you know, had my own night to perform a bunch of times. And I've DJed and
nice.
All kinds of stuff there.
Seems like they're very, like, nurturing of anybody who's willing to put their neck out and try something, you know, on guitar. Or, yeah, they have open mics for, like, comedy, too, and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, right? Well, they have a couple companies of comedians that do a show once a month or maybe, like, two different groups that, are, you know, kind of rotate different comedians in and out. And
cool.
So they have... do comedy, yes.
How about your fandom of the Smashing Pumpkins? Is this going back to the 90s? Like, I've been a fan since Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, and just it's been a real treat watching him grow as an artist, trying all different things. Some things don't work, some things work really well, but it's just always interesting seeing what he'll try next. How long have you been a fan of Billy?
Oh, Ford? Well, my older sister actually bought Gish back when it came out. And so it's like I've been hearing the Smashing Pumpkins, like, basically from their first album. And I didn't really become a fan until around next. I went to my first real big concert, and that was the Pumpkins up in Milwaukee.
And awesome.
It was just blew me away, and I was just a hardcore fan ever since then.
Really cool. Here's another thing I thought. Is it harder to sing to an audience without a microphone instead of being behind a microphone? For this show on Friday, you didn't have a mic in front of you, so you're basically singing to a group of people, you know, 30, 40 people. Is that more naked than being behind a microphone?
Like, when I when I record and stuff, it's like I always reverb and stuff going on the vocals, and it, you know, that's how I'm used to hearing my voice.
Sure.
So it's like, and even, you know, playing live, it's about like the of the, you know, being heard at the back of the room. I can't really sing in a lower register because my voice doesn't carry that far. But if I have a microphone,
gotcha.
I have a much broader range of how I can sing. Cause it's like, you know, I learned early on how to like work the microphone of, you know, getting closer
sure.
and further away and approaching it from different...
And then when you scream, you step away for a
right.
second. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And, if anybody's unaware of Matt Sams, you can find it at mattsams.bandcamp.com. And the cool thing for 2014 and now 2016 is you've recorded a song every day of the year.
And like the old axiom says, if you want to get better at something, you have to keep going. You have to keep trying it every single day. Even if you're a writer, write a little couple paragraphs every day. Don't slack on it. And eventually you'll see some growth. And yeah, so that was how'd you get that idea?
Well, actually, oddly enough, I heard Seinfeld, how he writes a joke every day.
Yeah, really?
And nice. It's like a concept called Don't Break the Chain. So it's like every day is a link. And you just, he's like, it doesn't even have to be a good joke or fun, but just the fact that I wrote something today, you know, and then I continue that chain. And eventually it leads to, you know, better and better things. You know, it's like you get better at your craft.
Sure. Is there ever any, like, day when you're just, I got nothing today. I got nothing, and you really are struggled to get something out?
Yeah, I usually can dig deep and get something working, you know, and it's like,
nice.
Some days, you know, like my voice isn't cooperating, or like I'm not coming up with anything interesting on the guitar. Sometimes I'll just like go outside the box and just do like a complete instrumental. Like
nice.
Saturday was an instrumental day, and I just kept basically soloing over this these synths and drums that, and then cool. I just chopped up all the takes I did and used like different effects and different placing to, you know, have it be a complete song. It's like that when I'm not like in that mode of like writing. Like, okay, this song, here's the verse, chorus, bridge, whatever. When I'm not, like, feeling in that kind of headspace, it's like sometimes I come up with some crazy stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, there's really a million opportunities with a blank song, what to paint on it. And even like Billy, if you get these reissue box sets, he puts all the B-sides, all the outtakes from a lot of these sessions. They're not all full-fledged songs, but they're all, like, just him trying something new each day in the studio and hoping that something will come along. And yeah, I was surprised that a lot of these are full-fledged productions of yours. They're not just little demos. They're not little, like, you know, Kurt Cobain montage of heck things where it's just a, you know, guy like rasping into a recorder. It's a lot of these are full-fledged productions. You do these out of your home?
Yeah, actually I'm able to get it all done on my laptop. And
nice. And that's where it's pretty much going in 2016. I know a lot of studios are having trouble booking, you know, paying the rent by booking time. If you can do it out of your home on your laptop without the clock right. ticking so much, that's definitely a nice luxury to have.
Well, I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I had to be in a studio to do it. You know?
Yeah, every single right. day of the year. Yeah. That would not be a cheap endeavor, right. I'll tell you that. Yeah, so then you take these songs that you do every day, and then you make little compilations, right?
Yeah, like I haven't done any for this project for this year yet, but when I did it the first time around back in 2014, I would kind of pick my favorites from the month and do, like, you know, best of January or best of February and so on.
Nice.
And then at the end of it, I kind of picked the 45 minutes or so of the music I like the best from the whole project, and put out a limited CD. They have it at Zuzu's now.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. So you wade through all the demos and you find the 45 minutes that you... Is it necessarily the 45 minutes that was played the most on Bandcamp, or is it just the ones that you thought were the most?
Yeah, no, it was just what I liked the best. And as far as the 45 minutes goes, because I had originally planned on doing a vinyl, but that never got off the ground. But, you know, yeah. I could still do it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, so you can find all this stuff at mattsams.bandcamp.com, and a lot of it's for sale. A lot of it you can just stream. There's hours and hours of listening enjoyment here. Taking it back for my listeners, did you grow up in Chicagoland as well?
Yeah, actually, I grew up in Waukegan, which is about 45 minutes, an hour north of Chicago, right on the lake, and spent pretty much most of my life there in Lake County.
Nice. And was singing and songwriting something that you picked up at an early age, or was it something more in your adult life?
Well, I didn't really start writing songs until I was around 18 or so, but my older brother is a phenomenal guitarist, and me and him and one of our friends, we started a band when I was like 7 years old. I played keyboards.
And, oh, nice.
So it was, I've been playing music since I was like, you know, seven. Took like violin and cello lessons in school. And
I was going to ask, is music theory a thing that you hold near and dear, or is it more of playing along to the radio, learning the chords, and that's all I really need?
That's how I ended up with when I started playing guitar. Oddly enough, I just basically wanted to learn all my favorite Smashing Pumpkins songs.
And, nice.
The Who is also a really big influence on me, so it's like I wanted to learn like every Who song and every Smashing Pumpkins song. So it was just, you know, luckily.
There's some parallels there, yeah, within like the concept albums and stuff like that between The Who and the Pumpkins. Yeah.
I love like of it, you know. It's like I still don't think I've ever approached that kind of level of power that they put through in in their music, but I'm still working on it.
Working on it every day. Yeah, nice. And, so you've had a band. Is it something, do you prefer being free, being a solo artist, or would you like to rejoin a band if the opportunity was right for you?
Well, yeah, I always loved the concept of being in a band, and then lots of them. But I've never been able to meet other musicians that take the music as seriously as I do, you know. Or, you know, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm an electrician, but I'm also a drummer. Or it's like,
sure,
you know, or like, you know, I play bass, but I work at some office, you know, and that's their real life, but they also play bass or something, you know. So it's like, never really been able to meet up with people that music is all they do, which that's what I do. I don't do anything else other than music.
Well, I've had bands as well, and there's a certain power struggle. There's different things going on within the group dynamics. There's jealousy. There's, you know, infighting. There's a million things that you really don't have to deal with as a solo artist. I talked to Lou Barlow of Dinosaur Jr., and he told us about all the different mental games that are played within Dinosaur Jr. in the 30 years they've been around, the firing, the rehiring, the making nice, then arguing. Then he goes and plays solo, and it's just a breeze. It's just him with a guitar, and that's all he's got to worry about for that hour that he's on stage. And it is a nice thing. So if you can do it yourself, it's a real luxury as well.
Yeah, that's operating for like the last decade, is, you know, just if I get a gig where I'm going to be playing like in a band kind of setting, I just kind of find whoever's available. You know, I know a lot of different musicians, and, you know, but even that's kind of a hassle sometimes, you know, trying to get everybody together and learn the songs and could do that. But at least it's kind of straightforward. It's like, okay, this is what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And how did you pick the songs that you played at Zuzu's on Friday? Ended it off with a really cool cover.
Oh, yeah.
What a Wonderful World.
You know, I don't really know what drove me to choose the songs that I did. I think I have like this list of like 40 songs that I kept like a notebook, and I was just, oh, that'd be a cool song to play. Oh, that'd be a cool. You know, so it's like,
nice.
You know, so I just write it down on the notebook, and then was getting closer. I'm like, okay, I better write this down. And so I just almost at random. The song that I did right before the end, Dying Days, is actually one of my favorites from this year. So I for sure wanted to do that one. What a Wonderful World. That's a kind of a strange song for me, because out of nowhere, I was like obsessed with this song for like a year. You know, like,
nice.
Like 5 or 6 years ago. Man, no, actually longer ago than that. But then I started working with this other musician and found out that he was closer with that after, you know, but doing like a karaoke version of it or something, and just had the iPad or iPod playing it. Oh, but it was just like such a strange coincidence that leading up to that, I was like obsessed with this song, and then started working with this person, and that actually led me to a lot of growth musically, because she would play at like retirement homes, you know, perform for like the old people acoustic. And she had just binders and binders full of songs that are, you know, of covers. And so it's like I learned everything she wanted to do. And then, you know, new ones. It just like exploded my knowledge of music by dissecting all these other songs. Because a lot of them were like kind of more old songs, like What a Wonderful World. And so that really helped, you know, later on now that I'm composing a lot of different songs.
Louis Armstrong originally did that. Am I correct?
Yeah,
with that?
He was the first one to perform it. It was written by a guy, Bob Feel, I think.
Okay, and I actually I've heard the Flaming Lips do that way back in the 80s before they were even like a nationwide phenomenon.
Oh yeah, I've heard that version.
It's cool, and you definitely struck a chord. Were there butterflies when you look up and see Billy Corgan watching your set too? And actually, the funny story is his baby was starting to make noise during your set. That's got to be just a complete surreal experience. Right?
In retrospect, yes. At the moment, I was doing everything I could to just kind of focus on the back wall.
Sure,
you
nice.
Know. And not
look at the paneling on the wall and just worry about the song.
Yeah, and
right?
not just yeah. because, you know, I didn't want to like somebody's driving by. not just because I you know, didn't want to get nervous. It was also like for a projection kind of thing, so you know, to make sure I could be heard at the back of the room.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
like
it's a small room, but it's full of people, and it was just an really cool night.
Yeah, and that was also the reason I chose to stand and play. Usually when I play acoustic, I always sit because it changes the approach of, you know, my strumming. And, it, you know, so that was kind of throwing me off a little bit because I'm not used to really standing and playing acoustic guitar. You can stand and play electric guitar, no problem, but...
You get more like air or you get more power out of your lungs by standing,
yeah.
right?
And yeah. that and was also, since everyone was sitting, the sound would carry over their heads more, you know, so
sure.
it's like just, you know, trying to get the acoustics right so people can hear it.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. It was a great set. And how about coming up in the future? Any more gigs at Zuzu's? Do you have anything in the books yet or just continuing with the Song a Day project?
Well, I don't have anything booked yet, but I've been thinking about doing another gig there even before all this happened. The only thing I knew beforehand was that he was going to be doing some stuff in May. Billy was going to be doing stuff in May, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I should play there again, you know, because it had been like over a year since I performed live. And just like, so they booked me on the 13th, and then it's like, oh, it's a Smashing Pumpkins gig, too.
That's really cool. It's been a great year with the Pumpkins, too. I got to meet and hang out with James Iha after the last show at the Civic Opera House.
Cool.
Got to hang with Jesse and his parents and saw Jimmy Chamberlain, saw Sierra Swan, Katie Cole, all them. It's been a great year. I can't wait to see what he does next, and I can't wait to see what you do next as well. I'll try to make it to the next show. And, we'll post some of the videos from the Zuzu show on my on the Facebook page here, if that's good with you. Yep. All right. And, find out more, mattsams.bandcamp.com. He's also on Facebook and Twitter, Somnostatic on Twitter. And, any last words?
Right? I think that covers it.
Nice. Thanks for taking the time out. And on behalf of Matt Sams, this is Andy signing off for the Andy Dare Show. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Uncle Bub's award-winning barbecue in Westmont, Illinois. Family-owned and operated since 1997, Uncle Bub's is the real deal barbecue. A family-friendly restaurant open 7 days a week. Also, it's a full-service catering company doing weddings, pig roasts, luau's, grill packages, you name it. They have a friendly, helpful staff that will make sure that your party goes off without a hitch. Call them at 630-493-9000. Visit them at 132 South Cass Avenue in Westmount, Illinois, and UncleBubs.com.
Hey man, I know you like grilling. I know you like getting those dark grill marks on your burgers, fish, chicken. And I know you don't want to just dry your meat out like you're cooking with a hairdryer. Why not get the Man Grate and click through the AndyDareShow.com's banner so we can keep the lights on here at Honeycomb Hideout Studios in gorgeous Westmont, Illinois. The Man Grate. This episode of the Andy Dare Show is brought to you in part by Record Utopia, a music lover's dream with thousands of vinyl records, musical instruments, and sound gear. They buy, sell, and trade. Give them a call at 630-963-1957. Visit them in Westmont, Illinois at 309 West Ogden Avenue, on the web at recordutopia.com. It's always a good, relaxed atmosphere. Check them out, Record Utopia. This has been a presentation of the Andy Dare Show and Dare Network. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Thank you so much for listening, and please do check out AndyDare.com for more info.